Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 13. Now I'm going to turn my cell phone off here. If you got a cell phone, you might want to turn it down yourself. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This month, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about angels. It's usually this time of year that people start to give more and more thought about angels, and because angels are usually seen or associated with the story of the birth of Christ. If you'll notice that, when you think about like your manger scenes, you usually have an angel there. And I'm not going to get into this year just how unrealistic most manger scenes really are, okay? But you usually see an angel somewhere in that manger scene. We know that there were angels involved when the shepherds were out. And there's quite a bit of evidence that there were angels involved even with the wise men coming in. And so you see angels a lot this time of year, and people's interest in angels is heightened. But I think that there are a lot of things that people believe about angels today that are just plain not true according to the Bible. And so what I'm going to ask you to do during this time that we're studying this over the next few weeks is for you to forget a lot about what you've seen on TV or heard in folklore or just in your imagination, and let's focus on what the Bible says about angels. And when it comes to the subject of angels, there does seem to be two extremes. As it is with just about everything. On one hand, you have many people who don't know what the scriptures have to say about angels, they're really not interested in what the Bible has to say about angels. On the other hand, you have some people who are obsessed with angels. Truth is, most Christians today have no idea what the Bible actually says about angels. They only know what they've seen in Hollywood. On the other hand, there are some people today that go overboard when it comes to angels. There's a tremendous interest in angels today in the secular world. Even in New Age religion, there is people that go overboard when it comes to the subject of angels. They step over the line and they start talking about your angel within, or getting in touch with your own angel and things like that. Now, that's just weird. Okay, I mean, it's weird if you think about what the Bible has to say. There's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of misconception about angels out there. There's also a great commercial interest when it comes to angels as well. You see little angel figurines, angel pens being sold, especially this time of year. But the Bible warns us not to go overboard when it comes to the subject of angels. Now, here's what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary involuntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And so we're not to go overboard when it comes to angels. Remember this, the most important thing in that Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to focus on. Now, there are many different subjects, and we should be able to understand what the Bible says about those subjects. As a pastor, I'm supposed to teach the whole counsel of God, and there's no way you can do that without teaching on the subject of angels because, quite frankly, they're all the way through the Bible, okay? So I want to learn about what the Bible has to say about them, but not become obsessed with the subject. And so let's learn what God's Word says about angels, and let's begin with five myths believed about angels in the world today. Five myths. About angels, and these myths are believed not only by people who are not saved, but they're believed by some Christians as well. And so the first myth is this: angels are human beings who have passed away. That is a myth. Okay, there are a lot of people today that believe that angels are human beings who have passed. They believe that when a person has gone to heaven, somehow they got wings, and somehow they became angels. And I've heard people say, well, now, heaven has gained another angel. And I understand what they're saying, but biblically that's not correct, okay? You say, well, where do people get things like that? Well, how many of you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? That's normally a thing that people watch on Christmas. That's your tradition to watch that show on Christmas. And when you watch things like that, you that's kind of where they get that. They get it from Hollywood, okay? And so people will say that angels are human beings who have passed. And like I said, I know what they mean, and I know that if your loved one believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then that loved one is in heaven today. There's no doubt about it, but that person is not an angel, okay? He is a saint who has died and gone to heaven. So you have to separate your mind from the fact that angels are humans, because they are not. They are not. You hear some people say, you know, I had an encounter with my Aunt Gertrude, who passed away 12 years ago, and she came to me as an angel. That, you know, that's just not scripturally correct, okay? And so that is myth number one. Myth number two, angels appear as chubby babies with wings. How many of you ever seen those pictures where you have the little chubby babies flying around with wings? Okay, usually you see that around Valentine's Day more than any other time. That too is also a fantasy of Hollywood. Comes from the mind of artists. The biblical fact is angels most often appear as ordinary men in the Bible. Okay, and thinking that angels are these precious little babies, like Cupid drawing back his bow and shooting you with a love arrow, is, well, I mean, it's nonsense, okay? Amen. Although I do think that there was a time I did get shot with the love arrow, just before I married my wife. Now, I said that so it could be recorded, so she could hear it, and I get in good standing, okay? But don't ever get the idea that angels are little bitty chubby babies with wings. If you remember, the two angels that came to that entered into Sodom in Genesis 19 to see if things were really as bad as they were, it says this in Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, or house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Where are the men? They were talking about the angels. So when they saw them, they appeared as men. When you read to the passage just before that, where you have God and two angels that meet Abraham in the plains of Mamre, you'll notice that he saw three men, is what he said, three men. But one of them was God and two of them were angels. So whenever you see angels in the Bible, they are usually seen as men. They appear as men. If you remember also when Jesus ascended, it says that the two men came up and says, why gaze ye up into the heavens? That was angels, okay? So they are appear as men, not chubby little babies, okay? And so that's certainly a myth. Myth number three, angels are sweet creatures who sing and play harps. Now, you know, sometimes because of Hollywood, you do realize that it could even change the way you read your Bible, because sometimes we read our Bible with a bias of something that we think that we know. And, you know, we like, for instance, we think that the angels sang when Jesus was born. How many of you ever think that angels sang when Jesus was born? If you read that passage really close, they weren't singing. They were talking. But we think that they were singing. Why? Because we look at that and we say, well, they had to have sung. For years I thought the same thing until somebody pointed out to me and says, hey, wait a second, they weren't singing. They were just talking. They were praising. They were yelling. They were speaking, but they weren't singing. Okay? And so when we think that angels are sweet creatures who sing and play harps, I'm just going to tell you, you do not find an angel playing a harp anywhere in your Bible, okay? You say, who plays a harp? David played a harp, amen? But he was no angel. So some people believe that. But according to the Bible, angels usually are warriors who hold swords. For example, back in Numbers chapter 22, when Balaam saddled up his donkey so he could go and meet the princes of Moab, Numbers 22:23 says, "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way." That donkey was able to see the angel holding that sword, and the ass said, "I don't want to owe you part of that. I don't even want to go close to him because he saw him holding a sword." But you know, that's the way the Bible describes them. Bible does not describe them holding harps or ever playing harps. In fact, when Jesus talked about angels, he said he could have called 12 legions of angels. Legions is a military term. That's a military division. So they're used in a military sort of way in the Bible, and they're even included in what the Bible calls the armies of heaven in Revelation chapter 19. The armies of heaven in Revelation chapter 19 are both us and the angels returning with the Lord back to this earth so he can rule and reign. And so when it talks about the armies of heaven, it's talking about the angels. Also in Isaiah 37, 36, it says that one night one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's what, why? Because they tend to be more of the militant type rather than, you know, just singing and playing harps, okay? They seem to be mighty warriors we're talking about here. Now, I'm talking about angels here. Now, we're going to be talking here in just a minute that there are more than just what angels are, more than angels in the Bible that are hosts in heaven. There's more than that. We're talking about angels. All right, myth number four. All angels are good and obey God. That is not true. That is not true. Turn, if you would, over to Jude. Jude. And look at verse 6, starting at verse 6, the book of Jude. The book of Jude. In Jude, the book of Jude, it talks in verse 6. Book of Jude. Verse 6, it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, in other words, they were living one place and decided they didn't want to live there anymore. The angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in the everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These verses are talking about the angels being disobedient back in Genesis chapter 6. And because they're disobedient, they're in chains unto this day. So obviously these angels were disobedient. Here's another example. Turn if you would over to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Just a few pages over if you're in Jude. Revelation chapter 9. Verse 13. It says, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. These angels were bound. They did something wrong. They were disobedient. All right? Not only that, but here's what it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, just a few chapters over. Revelation 12, 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They see he was disobedient. There was pride found in him, and he was kicked out of heaven. He was cast out. And the angels that were with him were cast out as well. The ones that had the pride in them, the ones that were following him, they were disobedient. Listen, there are still angels in heaven. The Lord talked about that when the Pharisees came up and said, well, you know, so-and-such got married to so-and-such, and then he died, and then she married so-and-such, they said, well, whose husband is her husband up in heaven? And he said that you're not like the angels in heaven that are neither given to marriage. So there are angels in heaven today that are not kicked out, but there are also disobedient angels that were kicked out, okay? And so, again, everybody thinking that all angels are good, not all angels are good. Not all angels are good. We know these as fallen angels, okay, or disobedient angels. So to say all angels are good and obey God is a myth. Another myth, myth number five, angels must be seen to be real. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now that means that there are times that you may be in the presence of angels and not even know it, according to your Bible. That's a wild thing when you think about it. That'll change the way you look at everything. That you could be in the presence of angels, that you could be talking to angels, associating with angels and not even realize it. According to your Bible, that's what it says. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. But notice here it says unaware. That's what it says. In other words, you're not aware of it, that you're entertaining angels. Now, you say, well, have you ever encountered an angel, Pastor? I believe I have. But for the most part, there are angels all around us, and they're not able to be seen in general. Okay, now I'll give you a scripture for that. Turn over to 2 Kings, back to the Old Testament, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is standing there with his servant, and a great army is coming up to get them. And it looks as if all hope is lost. Now, in this passage, Elisha is cool as a cucumber. He's not scared at all. But his servant is terrified. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, look if you would, starting at verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Things were going on spiritually there that he could not see, that he had no idea going on. And may I tell you, the same thing has happened today. There is a spiritual battle going on, and we're not even aware of it. We don't even see what's going on, but it is still going on nonetheless, okay? And so I do believe that there are angels and things spiritually going on in the background. And I happen to sincerely believe that even as we're gathered here right now, if God would open our spiritual eyes, we'd be amazed at what we would see. I really believe that. Bible says in Psalm 91:11, it says, God shall give his angels charge over you. God sends his angels to help you, to protect you, and sometimes deliver messages, but they usually do it as invisible helpers. And so those are the five myths that we need to all be aware of. Now you say, do you believe in angels? I do. And one reason is I've seen the way some of you drive. It has to be angels, amen? It has to be angels. In fact, I've seen how pastors drive, and they're the worst. And so I think there has to be. But what does the Bible say about angels? What is their main purpose in the Bible? Well, in the Old Testament, you'll notice that they're called different names. In the Old Testament, you see them called angels, obviously. Sometimes they're called the watchers. And you'll see them mentioned in the book of Daniel as the watchers more than any other book in the Bible. You'll also see them called the sons of God. You'll see that in Genesis 6. You'll also see that over in Job chapter 38. You'll see them called sons of God. Also, Job chapter 1, when the devil comes up, he comes up before the Lord, and he says he came with the sons of God, and that's when he started wanting to persecute Job. Okay, so you'll see that in the Old Testament. So they're called more than the angels in the Old Testament. They're called the watchers and the sons of God. In the New Testament, they're just simply called angels. They are not called the sons of God in the New Testament. Do you know who's called the sons of God in the New Testament? Those that are saved. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 tells us that those who receive Jesus Christ shall be the sons of God. Okay, that doesn't mean that we're angels. What it means is in the Old Testament, they were in the likeness of God. They were in the likeness of God. In other words, they were men. They were called sons of God. There is another person in the Old Testament that was called a son of God, and that was Adam before the fall. You read that over in the book of Luke in chapter 2. He was called a son of God before the fall. But in the Old Testament, the angels are called sons of God after the fall, and then now we are called sons of God today. And so in the New Testament, angels are just simply called angels. And one of the things that the Bible says about angels is that angels are spiritual beings created by God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by him were all things created. All things. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. When you study the words principalities and powers in your Bible, you'll find out that it has mainly to do with angels, okay? That's what it's talking about. And it says here that all things were created by him. All right, so we know that angels are spiritual beings created by God. Here's another thing that the Bible tells us about angels, and that is that angels are also spirits that minister. Spirits that minister. In our opening text, it says in Hebrews 1, verses 13 to 14, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" If you really want a quick phrase about who angels are and what they do, they're basically spirits sent to serve the saints. That's a lot of S's. Spirits sent to serve the saints. That's what they are. Okay? You say, well, how many angels are there? Well, we don't know that answer. We don't know how many there are. John says this in Revelation 5:11. He said he saw 10,000 times 10,000 angels. Now, that's 100 million angels. Okay? But that's what he saw. And then he said this, and thousands. So you have 100 million and thousands. What does that mean? That means there's a whole lot of angels. Amen? That means there's a lot. And that's after the devil took a third of the angels with him. Okay? And so we don't know how many angels there are, but God knows how many angels there are. Bible never speaks about things as far as angels getting old. Bible tells us that there are different kinds of angels. For example, there is one archangel. His name is Michael. That tells you that there is at least an order of rank amongst the angels, if you have Michael being the archangel. There are also angels that were sent to bring messages to people. Gabriel would be the one that was sent to bring messages to people. If you remember, he is the one who brought the message to Daniel. He's also the one who brought the message to Mary and also to Elizabeth. And so there are some angels that just bring messages. And then there are just those that, for lack of a better word, just called ordinary angels, okay, where they were really never told what they do, but they're there doing things. But there's nothing ordinary about them. And so that's certainly something the way the Bible describes them. I am going to tell you that one of the biggest, of course, we're done on myths, but I'll throw in another myth while we're at it. Especially during Christmas time. Now, I understand why they do it, because otherwise you would never know that you're looking at an angel. If I were on this board this morning, if I were to draw an angel, the only way I could draw it to where you know it's an angel, I'd have put wings on it. Amen? But the Bible, according to the Bible, angels don't have wings. There ain't an angel in that Bible has wings. None. You say, well, where'd they get the idea of angels having wings? Well, you go over there to Zechariah, and you see two ladies that are flying around with the wings of their wings like a stork. But believe me, they're not angels. They're wickedness, okay? The angels in that Bible, they have no wings. Here's another one, too. There are no female angels in that Bible either. None. No female angels in the Bible whatsoever. They're called the sons of God in the Old Testament, and every single one of them have a male name that's given a name. There are, and every time that somebody sees them, they see them as men. Now, people get upset about that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? So, now, don't take your manger scenes and throw them in the garbage. Okay? We understand. When we see the angel there, we know what it is. But just be aware of those things. Okay? Angels don't have wings. And you say, well, how they get the idea of angels having wings? It could be that, you know, they got the idea with the two ladies having wings that were in Zechariah. But here's another reason why some people think that angels have wings. It's the same reason why they think that the devil is a fallen angel. How many of you ever heard that the devil is a fallen angel? Okay? He's not. He's not. He's not an angel. He never was an angel. In the Bible, you have more than just angels as the host of heaven. There are a whole lot of creatures up there. The Bible talks about horses. Horses being there. We're not talking about horses with terrestrial bodies. We're talking about heavenly horses. So you have horses up there. You have those who have passed that were Christians. They're up there. The Old Testament saints are up there. You also have other creatures that are up there. For example, there's one creature up there called cherubim or cherubs. You read over those over in the book of Ezekiel. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 1. And you're talking about some strange things. When we get to heaven, I tell you, folks, our mouth is going to drop to the floor because we're going to see things that we can't even imagine. When you read here in Ezekiel chapter 1, when it describes them, I don't even know how you would possibly even draw something like this or how you would even consider something like this. But it tells you, it describes these creatures to you. In Ezekiel chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 5. And remember, when you're reading the Bible, everything, you got to believe every word of it. Every single word of it. Ezekiel 1 verse 5, it says, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Now these have wings, but they're not angels. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. So that means that they have two faces on the right side. They have, and then it says on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had a face of an eagle. So imagine this. They have two faces on one side. They have one face here and another face there. How do you even imagine something like that? But that's what it says. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. When you read back in the book of Genesis, back in the book of Exodus, when they build the Ark of the Covenant, the top of the Ark of the Covenant has the mercy seat right there, and they have two cherubim facing each other with their wings. That's described on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Also, if you'll remember that when Adam and Eve had sinned, God did not want them getting to the tree of life, because if they got to the tree of life, then they would live forever in a fallen state. So you know what the Lord did? He put a flaming sword there. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, it says he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, the same creatures that you see right there in Ezekiel chapter 1. And so that's what he did there. Now, you say, well then what was the devil? The devil was a cherub. That's what he was before he fell. Turn if you would over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. He was not an angel. He was a cherub. That means he, at one time, was described the same way. He had those faces. He had those the hoof there as their feet. That's what he was. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Look if you would at verse 12. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now, when you're reading your Bible, especially the book of Ezekiel and some of the prophets, you'll notice that you'll see things that have a dual meaning. In other words, he's talking about a certain king of Tyrus, but he's also talking about somebody else at the same time. Okay, like for here, he's talking about the king of Tyrus, but at the same time, he's talking about Lucifer. Okay, because king of Tyrus was never a cherub. The king of Tyrus is actually a human being. So it has what we call a dual meaning. You'll also see where Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, it may be talking about somebody else, but it's referring to him. So you got to be aware of the dual meaning. Now, here's what it says. It says "Son of man, take up the lamentations upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, that there describes Lucifer before he fell. And it says the outside of him, with all these different stones and everything, he was absolutely beautiful. It also, notice here, it says that the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was able to make music. It says a whole lot about music today. The devil knows more about music than anybody else. Amen? How many of you understand that music controls your mood? I'm not going to get too deep into that, but just know this, that the devil knows music more than anybody. That's the way he was created. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. That's referring to Lucifer. That's referring to him before he fell. And the Bible says that he was a cherub. He was the covering cherub. Now, when you read over the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll notice that the throne of God has four cherubs around it. But the devil before, or Lucifer before he fell, he was the covering cherub. That means he would have been over the throne of God, reflecting the glory of God. Have you ever thought that now that the devil has fallen, as Christians, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let the light of Christ shine through us. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reflect the glory of God to this entire world. Have you ever thought that maybe the devil is against us? Not only he's against glorifying God, but maybe it's because we're supposed to do what he was supposed to do. And he fell. He was a cherub. He was not an angel. Now, so you have cherubs in the Bible. There's another creature that you're going to see in the Bible, and that creature is found over in Isaiah chapter 6. So turn over, you would, over to Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll show you another creature. Now, those cherubs there, you'll notice they had four faces and they had four wings. And they tend to be around the throne of God. Every time you see them, they're somewhere around the throne of God, on the Ark of the Covenant, right there by the throne of God. When they're in Ezekiel chapter 1, they're around the throne of God. That's where they seem to be. They seem to be more the militant type. But you'll also notice that there are other creatures there that are seen around the throne of God as well. Isaiah chapter 6 shows us one of these creatures. In Isaiah chapter 6, look if you would at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Now, this is different. That's not cherubim. That's seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So here are these creatures that have six wings. They're around the throne of God, and they're constantly saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now turn, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 4, and you'll see these same creatures again. Because right there in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah looked up and he saw God there on the throne. And when he saw them, when he saw God sitting on the throne, he saw these seraphim standing there as well, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. When you get over to Revelation chapter 4, John had been given a vision to where he was told to come up hither there in Revelation chapter 4. And when he went up, he was able to see the same thing that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 4 of what John saw starting at verse 6. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. It says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Two times you see these seraphim. And both times they're saying, holy, holy, holy. Why they say holy, holy, holy? That's teaching you the Trinity. Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. Holy is God the Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. Okay? But these are talking about seraphim. So you have seraphim and you have cherubim, but these are not angels. Angels have no wings. The devil is not a fallen angel. He is a fallen cherub. But he can make himself to look like an angel. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So he can make himself to look like an angel, but he is no angel. He never was an angel. All right, one more basic thing about the Bible's description of angels is this. And that is, angels are sometimes referred to as stars. They're sometimes referred to as stars. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Now, we're going to continue to be studying about angels in the coming weeks. I just wanted to give you just the basics of it this morning, and then we'll move on and learn even more in the coming weeks. But angels are sometimes referred to as stars. Revelation chapter 1, look if you would, at verse 12. It says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. That's John that's talking here. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And then, now you say, what are those seven stars? Well, John was looking at Jesus here. And when he said in his hand was the seven stars. Well, you say, well, what were seven stars? Well, look what Jesus himself says down in verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are also the seven churches. Not only that, but when we read a while ago that when the devil fell, that the third of the angels cast out of heaven with him. You read just prior to that in the book of Revelation, and it says that the dragon was cast out, and with his tail he took a third of the stars, referring to angels. So whenever you see stars in the Bible, it could be the stars you see up in the sky. I mean, it could be you go out in the middle of the night and you see millions of stars up in the sky. It could be talking about those. You know, even back in Genesis, when it says that God created the heaven and the earth, and he created this and he created that, it says, and he created the stars also. I think that's one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible, that your God is so awesome and so great that to him making the stars is nothing. I mean, and he made the stars also. If I had made the stars, man, we'd write books and books and books about it, and yippee-yahoo, pastor did a great thing, but God says, made the stars also. That's how great he is. But when you look up, you see those stars. And certainly that in the context in your Bible, it could be talking about that. But also in the context of your Bible, it could be talking about angels. Now I'm going to show you something and we'll quit. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Just something for you to think about. And I don't want to spoil the message for the worship service here, so I'm not going to go too far into it. But Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to show you something that's a bit strange. But I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to let you just stew it over for a while. Matthew chapter 2. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. That's a strange thing. Went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. How many of you have ever seen a star go before you and then stand somewhere? I'll leave you with that. Okay, just something to think about. Okay, sometimes angels are referred to as stars. Okay, so that is just the kind of the basics on angels. Again, we're going to be getting a whole lot further into it in the coming weeks, but we just need to know what the Bible has to say. And listen, anytime that you hear some people say things, always check your Bible and see if it's true. Amen. There's a lot of things that people say that are in the Bible that are not there. Example, God helps those that helps themselves. That's not found in the Bible. You can't find it. Let God be my co-pilot. You can't find that in the Bible. It doesn't say that, okay? And so there's a lot of things that people claim that's in the Bible that's not there. Always be aware of that.